A feeling that I have, and I'd like to share with you. It's just a thought, it's just a feeling, really. It's not a Maamar Chazal, it's just a feeling. Just a feeling. Imagine if you go to a wedding, you find yourself walking down the street, you hear a big noise, you step into the hall, and it turns out there's a wedding there. How long will it take you to work out who's the chassan? They're in the middle of the dancing. How long will it take you? An instant. You can see he's the one in the middle. He's the one beaming from ear to ear. And obviously, the innermost circle clearly must be, I guess, his father or his brothers or his siblings. And then there's the next circle. I guess that must be the cousins. And then there's the further circle. There's the close friends. And then you get the guy sitting in the corner of the hall. Looking at his phone, he looks utterly bored. And he clearly is the third cousin who's been dragged along by his wife to say Mazel Tov to the grandmother, because otherwise she'll be all braggers if you don't say hello. Or it's the Friday afternoon chavrusa of the grandfather of the chassan, and he feels his better comes along. But he looks totally bored, and he's waiting for his wife to call him and say, yes, okay, we can leave now. And he's not interested because he has no shaychus. So Matan Torah, as we've described in many shiurim, especially recently, is called a chasana. My Hele Gezeida, the Chasam Sefer, says that when Har Sinai was suspended over our heads, it was like a chuppah. And there's many, many other references between the union of a chasana. We just put on our tefillin this morning, and we all said, Ve'erastich li lo'olam, ve'erastich, we are betrothed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's an union of a chasana, which is obviously relived every single year. So the feeling that I just wanted to share with you is, imagine, you know, when you get an invitation in the post, in the mail, if we still get invitations in the mail anymore, and it's a wedding, and we look at the wedding, and it's upcoming, and it's the wedding you know you have to go to. It's not something you can avoid. So we all know, every single one of us, that we have a different feeling looking forward to a wedding. It's a very, very close family member, then we're genuinely excited. If it's a neighbor, I'm very pleased for him. If it's a guy that I have a vague acquaintance with his shul, then yeah, I'm happier. You know, I'll go and say Mazel Tov. And if it's a fellow that you know I happen to be in the office with, or I bump into, I'm not really excited. I don't know his child. I don't really have a major relationship, but I know he's the type of guy that if I don't go, he'll get all upset with me. So I'm not excited. I have to go because I've got to do what I have to do. But it's incomparable to the feeling when it's my own simcha. Imagine the feeling what we had when we looked at our own wedding invitation. What do you mean? This is about me. I'm the chassan. So when you have Shavuos coming up, it's clear that those who are zeicha to learn every single day, this is our Yom Tov. This is our Yom Tov. Unfortunately, there are those people in Klal Yisrael who Shavuos is they're eating cheesecake. As I think you all heard the same time as I heard it from Rabbi Aaron Feldman when he once spoke in the Gro, and he said he saw a big full-page advertisement in the Mishpacha magazine, and he was all excited when he read the beginning, and it said, Shavuos is not just about cheesecake. And he was very thrilled to read that. Ah, Baruch Hashem, at least somebody realizes what Shavuos is really all about. But then he said, unfortunately, I carried on reading, and it said, Shavuos is not all about cheesecake, it's about souffle and pizza and quiche. Okay, so for some reason, that's what Shavuos, some people, that's what Shavuos is all about. It's a bit of fun. We dabble with a bit of cheesecake, but I'm not excited. It's a bit of a burden. I'd rather do without the Yom Tov, especially what, staying up late on Shavuos night, all night, part of the night, bit of the night. It's just one big pressure and burden. But if we're zeicha to learn every day, every single day without fail, 7 days a week, then this is our Yom Tov. So this is the wedding invitation with our own names printed on it. Not the neighbor or a third cousin or a business associate or my tennis partner. So the feeling that we should have, but as a Hashem, I'm sure we all do, looking forward to Shavuos, is that this is our Yom Tov. It's all about us. This is our Yom Tov. And as we point out every year, the Shloha HaKadosh quotes, it's quite a frightening thing, that Shavuos is a Yom Hadin on Limud Torah. It's a Yom HaDin Olim HaTorah, just like we have various Yemei Din throughout the year. Like the Mishnah says, there are four Rosh Hashanahs. So he proves that Shavuos, without getting involved in his proofs, but Shavuos is the Yom HaDin Olim HaTorah. Which means, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, our future year, until next Shavuos, will be decided how much the Torah in quantity, in quality, in knowledge, how much we remember, how much we enjoy, how much time we'll be allowed to dedicate to learning, etc., etc. That will all be decided on Shavuos. So this is a very, very big day. And once again, for somebody who Limud Torah is not central, then okay, let it be the Yom HaDin, big deal. It's going to be decided. And it might be decided that this year you won't be able to learn so much. So, well, doesn't really bother me. But if it's for somebody who learns every single day and Kiheim Chayenu, that's the main part of the day, then Shavuos is an enormous day. Shavuos is a day that we want to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially in the bracha of Ahav Rabba and Shachris, and Ahav Seilam at night, which is the bracha is all about Torah, and of course the Birkas HaTorah. Every single year in our shul, here in Ramah Gimel, I always remind them, and I asked them a favor, I said, please help me relive this, but I remember Gates of Yeshiva on Shavuos night. I remember Gates of Yeshiva Shavuos night, even though it was not a very lengthy learning Seder. Shavuos night Mariv was about 11 o'clock at night or something. By the time you finished Mariv, it was, I don't know, 11:45. By the time you finished your meal, it was about 1:30. And Shacharis is about 3:30 or 4:00. So it was not a long night, but it was a very intense night. But I do remember Shacharis, packed yeshiva, 300, 400, 500 bochrim, and a lot of other people used to come. The brach of Av Rabba before Shema, it was like Yom Kippur Ne'ilah. Yom Kippur Ne'ilah, maybe Av Rabba normally takes, on a regular given day, Shacharis, how long does it take? 30 seconds, 45 seconds? It took there 3 or 4 minutes. Every word yelled out. People were crying there.
Why was Marib at 11 o'clock?
That's when Nach is very late in Gateshead. In all of Europe, it's about 10 o'clock at the moment, maybe 10:30. In Gateshead, which really? Is further north. I remember in the height of summer, Motzah Shabbos used to reach 11:15.
Wow.
You go to Scotland, it's close to midnight. I'll call Ponim Va'ifen, so I remember that very clearly. I'll never forget it. The Ava Rabba, the Brach of Ava Rabba, the same Belibeinu, Lahovin, or Lahaskil, Lishmoya, Lumoid, all of those words every single year. And that's what I always mention in our shul. That's Davin. I know it's true, it's the end of a long night and we feel tired, it's true, but surely for that Brach, we have Koyach. So Be'ezus Hashem, I don't think this is something that necessarily we need to generate. Hopefully we feel it naturally anyway. This is our Yom Tov. Shavuos is our Yom Tov. Shavuos is the Yom Tov, of course, for everybody, but first and foremost for Lomdei Torah. Somebody who learns once a week obviously will not feel the same attachment and excitement to Shavuos as those who learn every single day without fail. So this is our Yom Tov. So Mitzvah Hashem, it could be a big week. Take us all the way till the end of the week. Is a Yemei of Yom Tov. There's no Tachanun now for the whole week, beginning this morning, all the way till Shavuos, for a week till after Shavuos. So we're in festive mood, which would explain Rav Moshe Zedek's tie, I guess. Be'ezus Hashem. So we're all in a good mood, Be'ezus Hashem. There is one mitzvah. I gave a shiur last week in a seminary in Ramah Aleph. So I asked them, what's the one mitzvah on Shavuos? So one girl said, eating cheesecake. No, that's not the answer. The answer is, there's only one mitzvah on Shavuos. There's no lulav, and there's no shofar, and there's no matzah. There's a mitzvah of simcha. Every Yom Tov is a mitzvah of simcha. The samachta b'chagecha. That's the only thing. But all other Yom Tovim.
We had a bacher over once for Yom Tov for Shavuos. He brought us a cheesecake. That thing must have weighed 15 pounds.
So you took the fifth. So what they do is you transfer the 15 pounds of the cheesecake onto the individual. That's the
we froze it. We kept that thing lasted 2 weeks.
Not in my house. By the way, Rebbe, I'm giving a shiur.
Where? Who to?
In Shavuos at the shul.
Wow, good for you. Ashreichem. Lucky them.
Right.
I'll call upon him.
Don't worry, we're recording it.
Okay, I hope not. All other Yomim Tovim, you have a lulav, you have a shofar, you need some sort of medium to generate the simcha. But on Shavuos, you don't need any medium because you've got the Torah. You've got the Torah. Imagine if you went to a wedding and for some reason the electricity suddenly went and the band, I've been at the wedding either actually, and the band suddenly stopped playing. What happened? Everyone carried on dancing. It's very nice, it adds a lot, the band, but if there's no band, well, there's no chosman kala. Of course there's a chosman kala. There's simcha in the air anyway. The band, for sure, the orchestra enhances the simcha if they're playing nicely, etc., etc. But you don't actually need it. The chosman and kala are there, so that's the simcha. Whereas if you go to a music concert and then all the music suddenly stops, well, then everyone goes home.
That's it.
I'm only there for that. That's the whole point. I'm only there for the music. If the music doesn't work, then we all go home. But nobody goes home in the middle of a wedding because the music doesn't work. That's simcha. So on Shavuos, we don't need any extra medium to generate the simcha. We're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what the best possible moshul for that is? If you go to a wedding, it's all very fancy. Okay, there's a band, 3-piece band, 5-piece band. There's a photographer, there's a video guy, there's waiters, there's waitresses. There's one part in that building that has none of that. You know where that is? The Cheder Yichud of the Chosman Kala. Chosman Kala, following the chuppah, they go into their quiet room. There's no band there, there's no photographers there, there's no waiters there. What is there? Chosman Kala. They don't need all the trappings. They don't need all the extra. They have each other. That's a chasna. But who needs a 5-piece band in the Cheder Yichud when you have each other? So Mamela, Shavuos is like in the Cheder Yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it is. It's a chasna. It's a chasna. Torah, siva lonu moirosha. So what do Chazal say? Moirosha is like the words ma'urosa, betrothed. We become married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bez Hashem, we should all feel this. I'm sure we all do feel this. I know I've mentioned this so many times in the past, but I cannot not mention it, that we should be very, very appreciative that we have the Zechus to learn together every day, especially, I know, all of you individually. Some of you, looking back 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, would not have scripted this in your wildest imagination. Sitting in Eretz Yisrael, learning Gemara, hard Gemara every morning, come on, you must be kidding. Anything else, I mean, more likely that I'll be the next Pope. Sitting in Beit Shemesh or Netanya or in Eretz Yisrael, learning Torah Kadosh every day, it's just too incredible. Nobody could have scripted this. Nobody could have scripted this. So we have to Moida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember sitting with my prospective father-in-law. I just got engaged. And a week or two later, my father-in-law said, okay, so what are your plans for the future then? So I said, I'll be honest, I don't honestly know. I'd like to start off learning immediately after the wedding, hopefully for half a year, be in the Beis HaMedrash all day. But who knows what will be in the future. Baruch Hashem, 24 years later, we're still there. Baruch Hashem. So these things are not to be taken for granted. We have the opportunity to learn half an hour a day, an hour a day, 5 hours a day. Each person according to their schedule is not something to be taken for granted. There are many, many people who are unable to learn, and more tragically, many, many people who are not interested in learning. And even more tragic still, most people don't know what learning is all about, don't know what the beauty of learning is. So Be'ez Hashem will be made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feel very much, this is our week, this is our Yom Tov. It's not about cheesecake, it's not about souffle, it's not about all the trappings, it's all lovely and wonderful. It's just about us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and those tefillahs that we should be zeicha be'ezus Hashem to another year of Limud Torah. Be'ezus Hashem, increased Limud Torah, more quantity, more quality, in good health, in Hatzlocha for all of us and Mitzvah Hashem for many, many, many years to come. Okay, let's begin tomorrow. We're on Tes Vav Omed Beis. Now, we're actually in the middle of a sugya. Mamish in the middle of a sugya. I'm sure you all heard of Yeshivas Brisk in Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Somebody told me that he once learned in Brisk, and in Brisk, they learn every Masechta that they learn from cover to cover, from beginning to end. However long it takes, there's no time schedule. They start the Masechta, and however long it takes, it takes. So he told me on one occasion, they were going through the Masechta, and they don't try and time at the end of Zman, they should be finished a particular perek or particular that, wherever up to the end of Zman, they stop. And the beginning of next Zman, they continue. So somebody told me that he was in Brisk, and on the last day of Zman, the Rosh Hashiva was giving shir, and he was in the middle of a Tosfos. Tosfos asks a question, and he gives two answers. The first answer was, V'yesh lo'ima, and they learned that teretz, and he looked at his watch. Okay, that's it, guys. End of shir, end of Zman, have a nice break. A month later, on the first day of Zman, the Rosh Hashiva gets up and he starts. Okay, says Tosfos, V'oid yesh lo'ima, the second answer is. And that's how we began. It might sound comical, but the real limud is because there's no break. We keep on learning. Keim chayenu, just like during Ben Hazmanim, we also eat and we breathe. So we had a break maybe for a couple of days, but we didn't really have a break. So what are we dealing with over here? We're trying to work out. We're learning the sugya of shoir aniskal. Shoir aniskal is a shoir that gored and killed somebody else. So the shoir is itself stoned. And the Mishnah was machadish to us that you need 23 dayonim. 23 dayonim to judge that case. How do you know? So if you remember, we had that pasuk. It says, Hashoir yisokel. The ark should be stoned. And then it says, Vegam ba'olav yumos. And the owner should also be killed. And we've already established that's not literal. That's not literal. The owner is not killed. So why is the Torah writing that the owner should be killed? So the answer is, it's written for a drosha. What's the drosha? Just like in a theoretical case that the owner would in theory be killed, for example, he was Machal Shabbos. You need 23 dayanim, so too the shoyer. There is a hekesh, there's a comparison between the shoyer and its owner. Just like when the owner would need to be killed, you'd have to judge him in 23. So too the shoyer over here also needs 23. That was the Mishnah. So if you remember, the Gemara asked a big question. One moment. How do you know that the Pasuk is not literal? How do you know the Pasuk is not literal? Normally, whenever we make a drosha, we have to have some reason to believe that there's an extra word, that the Pasuk cannot be translated literally. But over here, what's wrong with the literal translation? If you're shoir, gored, and killed, well, perhaps you're held responsible. You should have looked after the shoir better. And therefore, v'gam, v'olav, Yumos, the owner, should also be killed. Well, maybe that's literal. The owner will be killed. So what gives us license to say that no, the Pasuk is not literal? Therefore, the Pasuk is spare for a drosha to tell us that just like the owner needs 23 people to be judged if and when he needs to be killed, so too the shoir. What gives us the license to make that drosha? So we already saw the first teretz, the Gemara says, there's an extra, another extra word, yumos, and skila, and seref, chenek, and cherev, etc., etc. But lemaisa, we dismiss that. So therefore, we're on the lookout now for a new teretz. So have a look at the Gemara. It's on the sixth line, the second line. On the seventh line. The line that begins with the word da'omar. And it's at the end of the line where it says, loy, loy salkadata. No, loy, you cannot translate the pasuk literally. You cannot translate the pasuk literally. It definitely cannot mean that the owner is absolutely killed. Rather, it's available for a drosha. How do you know? Says the Gemara, loy salkadata. Do not think that this is there for a drosha. Why? Diksiv, because it is written, Im koifer yushas olov, quote unquote. How do you translate, by the way, the word im? Normally, im means if. But there are one or two exceptions, and this is one of them. Sometimes im does not mean if, it means you must. Im koifer yushas alov means, and the owner must, yushas means is placed on him, kupar, koifer, a loshon of kapara. He has a monetary payment to pay. So the ox will be killed, and the owner will have to pay a monetary payment. Im koifer yushas olov, a kapora, an atonement, yushas olov will be placed upon him. That is a pasuk that it is written with regard to the shoyer aniskal. So again, the shoyer gored and killed. The shoyer gets stoned, and the owner has a kapora through a financial payment. That's what it says. Okay. Says the Gemara. This is now the proof. The isal kedatech bar ketolahu. And if you would entertain the thought that he might actually be chayev mita, what does bar ketolah mean? Ketolah means, we've had this word many times, killed. If you think he's a bar ketolah, remember, we're trying to suggest that when the Torah writes the gamba all of you must, maybe that's literal. Says the Gemara, I'll prove to you it cannot be the case, because if you're going to tell me that yes, the owner is actually chayev misa, the hawk siv, we have another pasuk, not written over there in Parshas Mishpatim, but rather in Parshas Maaseh, where it says loy sikhu koifer lenefesh roitzeach, quote unquote. What does that pasuk say? That pasuk teaches us the following rule, and then we put it all together. In the event that somebody is a murderer and he's chayev misa, the Torah writes he cannot earn himself an atonement by paying a financial kapora instead of the chayev misa. Sorry, no such option available. That's what it means. Loy sikhu koifer. Do not take an atonement lenefesh reitzeach for somebody who's a murderer. If you really are chayev misa, you cannot bail yourself out with a financial payment. That's what the Torah writes in Parashas Maaseh. And therefore, in the event that somebody is chayev misa, for whatever it may be, whether he's a murderer or any other avera, then he will be killed, period. He cannot apply, as it were, for a financial payment to bring about the atonement instead of the death penalty. No such thing. And if that's the case, let's now come back to Shoyer HaNiskal. What does it say with regard to Shoyer HaNiskal? The ox will be stoned, and the owner will have a financial penalty, which will be a kapora. One second. But didn't we just say that a financial kapora can never be a replacement for a chiyuv misa? Well, therefore, one and one is two. If the Torah writes with regard to a shoyer aniskal that the owner has a kapora, financial kapora, and if we've learned in Parashas Maaseh that a financial kapora can never be a replacement for a death penalty, well, then we reach the inescapable conclusion that the owner, in the case of the Shoyer HaNiskal, has no death penalty. Because if he really was Chayev Misa, then how can the Torah say you can earn yourself an atonement by paying up a financial payment? Didn't the Torah write that where you are Chayev Misa, a financial payment as an atonement is not an option? And if the Torah nonetheless writes in the case of the Shoyer HaNiskal that it is an option, what does that prove to us? That he's not Chayev Misa. And if he's not Chayev Misa, so we've answered our question. Our whole question was, how do you know that the words v'gam ba'olov yumos, how do you know that those words are not to be translated literally? Maybe it's supposed to be translated literally, that he's got to die. Morris says, no, it can't be. It cannot be that the gamba all of you must means literally that the owner has to die, because if he really needed to die, how on earth can the Torah write in the next pasuk that he can bail himself out with a financial payment? That can't be. Reb Larry?
Didn't we learn in Ksubis also that if you're chayav misa, because it's a bigger penalty than knas.
That's when there's two punishments. That's when there's two punishments that really should befall him, and you give the stricter of the two. But here the Torah is not saying it's two. The Torah is saying...
No, so if there's a mechayev a guy with knas, right, then clearly he's not chayev misa, because otherwise right. They wouldn't be mechayev him with knas, because it's a bigger...
Yeah, so we have this principle. We have this principle that where somebody is chayev misa, then he has to be killed. And that way, obviously, he'll gain his atonement. But you cannot now replace that with a financial payment. That's what's taught to us in Parashas Maaseh. So for you cannot possibly suggest to me that this owner of the shoyer is essentially Chayev Misa, because if he really was, then how on earth is the Torah suggesting that he can gain his atonement through a financial payment? So it must be, therefore, that he's not Chayev Misa. And if he's not Chayev Misa, then everything is fine and dandy. Then the words "v'gam ba'olav yumas" are not to be translated literally, and yes, they are available for the drasha that teaches us that what? That just like the owner would need 23 dayonim to judge him, so do the show. But the Gemara once again rejects that. Look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Adarabba. What does Adarabba mean? Adarabba means to the contrary. Adarabba, the absolute opposite. Mishum hi gufa, because of that posuk itself, kotal. I think it's a raya that he is chayev misa. You're trying to suggest that it must be conclusive that he is not chayev misa. I'd like to suggest that he is. Why? Mora says, this is the cheshbon. Sorry, I put the comma in the wrong place. Adarabba mishum hi gufa, comma. Because of that very posuk itself, that is exactly why I'm suggesting that he is chayev misa. Why? Mora explains the logic. Kotal ihu. When he himself, kotal again means death, when he himself has to be killed, imagine somebody is a murderer, so he has to be killed. So the death penalty falls absolutely on his own shoulders. That's when we say, loy tiskile, it will not suffice for him, b'mamoina. You can't bail yourself out with mamoina. If you yourself are chayev misa, then a kapara through a financial payment is unsatisfactory, is not sufficient. Loi tiskile b'mamoina. It will not be sufficient with momoin, elo diketola, only through murder. If you're chayev misa, you've got to get misa. But kotal shoiroi. That's only when he himself is the murderer. So if you yourself are the murderer, well, I'm sorry, you've got to get killed. And there's no way you can bail yourself out with a financial payment when you are the murderer. That's what it means. Kotal ihu. When he himself killed, that's what the Torah said in Parshas Maaseh, that if you yourself killed, then you yourself need to be killed. And all the money in the world cannot bail you out. But over here, you're not the murderer. Over here, kotal shoiroi. But over here, it's your shoir that needs to be killed. Your shoir that actually killed. So maybe over here, although we are obligating the owner to be killed as well, but maybe lifroik nafshoi, the mamoina, question mark. But maybe over here he can redeem his soul with mamoin. Why? Because he's not the murderer. So how can you prove to me that what? That if the Torah says that he pays a financial payment, it must mean that he's not chayev misa. Maybe he is chayev misa. Maybe he is chayev misa. Really? Well, if he's chayev misa, how'd you bail yourself out? Didn't the Torah say where you're chayev misa, you cannot bail yourself out? That's only when you're the murderer. So when you're the murderer, you actually killed, then the Torah says, I'm sorry, you cannot bail yourself out. But where your ox killed, maybe the Torah says this, and I hold you responsible, albeit that at the end of the day, you're not the murderer, and essentially you're chayev misa, but I can give you a get out of jail card, and that is by paying up. In which case, we're back to square one. Maybe when the Torah says in Ba'olov Yumos, maybe really it means the owner needs literally to be killed. How is it, therefore, that the Torah says you can bail yourself out? Because you're not the murderer. And it's only when you are the murderer that then the Torah says you can't bail yourself out. In which case, you have not proved to me conclusively that the Pasuk of Im Gam Ba'olov Yumos is not literal. Maybe it is literal. Yeah, Reb Larry.
There are numerous averis by which you're chayav misa. Can you bail yourself out of all of them except for murder?
No.
But again, so what would be the havamina to think that because, okay, it's chayav misa, what would be the havamina to believe? Those,
that's when you committed the avera. Here, I was passive. I was fast asleep when it happened.
Bottom line is, but the Torah obligated chayav misa, the mechayav misa, whatever the reason is, okay? I didn't murder somebody. They're saying the only reason you're there is because you murdered somebody.
The Torah is making is that if you yourself committed the avera, that's when we have a precedent.
Well, the Gemara is saying murder. You murdered somebody, therefore you can't pay yourself out.
That's where it says this principle. That's where it says this principle. In which case, we're back to square one. Have a look at Rashi, because we're going to run out of time. Mishum hi gufa. Says the Gemara, Mishum hach kashya gufa. It's that very principle, that very question, that proves my point. The loy tema, loy sikhu koifer. Do not say that based on the pasuk of loy sikhu koifer kosav rachmona, therefore the liktoil kosav rachmona the nosam pidyon nafshoy. The Torah says that he gives a redemption for his soul. Meimar the heicha the kotal ihu where he himself killed loy tiskele b'mamayna avol kotal shayroi. If his ox killed, then maybe it's sagi leber mamayna. Maybe then it will suffice to pay up money if you do indeed pay the money. But the imlo yoiv kofer. But if he doesn't pay up the money, then maybe indeed chayev chenek could be chayev to be strangled. How can he bail himself out? Doesn't the Torah give us a rule that you cannot bail yourself out? That's only in a case where you yourself murdered. In which case, Rabbi Yisai, we still have not answered our initial question. If the Torah says begam ba'olav yumos, the Gemara is still maintaining, maybe that's literal. The owner has to be killed. He is allowed to bail himself out. That's true because he's actually not the murderer, but essentially he's chayav to be killed. In which case, those words are not spare for a drasha. So how do we know to make those words non-literal and to make a drasha and to say, well, just like he needs 23, so does the shoyer. Who says those words are spare? Maybe the words are literal. The gam ba'olav yumos, yes, the owner must also die. Yes, he can bail himself out, but essentially it's chayav misa. So we're still on the lookout for a proof. How do you know those words are not literal? And you can make a drosha that if he needs 23, the shoyer needs 23 as well. In this Hashem, tomorrow morning, we'll see the answer.
Should call us.